as I said, Brother Peter is here to give us an address, The Real Bible Devil. And in connection with that address, it's asked that we take a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, commencing at verse 1 to verse 11. So reading from the Word of Life, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I'll ask for your attention as I ask our speaker to come forward and deliver that address, The Real Bible Devil.
Good evening, brothers and sisters and friends. So this evening we're going to be focusing on how the Bible presents the devil and exactly what the Bible has to teach about the devil. So we'll look at the uses of the word devil and devils throughout the Old and New Testament, as basically this is the best way to reveal what the Bible teaches us about this subject. So just to note to begin with that the word devil cannot actually be found in the whole of the Old Testament. Therefore, we'll focus on the word devils. So the first use of the word devils can be found in the book of Leviticus and chapter 17 and verse 7, which we have on the screen. So in Leviticus chapter 17, God is giving Moses commandments concerning the sacrifices made to him. So we read in Leviticus 17 and verse 7, And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. So we can see from this verse that the people of Israel were offering some sacrifices to something other than God, devils, as we have read. And we can see that this verse is referring to idolatry from the phrase, they have gone a-whoring. As this phrase is repeatedly attached when the people of Israel had gone astray and turned to idols. So we read, for instance, in Hosea 4 and verse 12, My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. So we see here that they were trying to obtain guidance from stocks or staff, or their staff, basically turning to wooden idols instead of praying to God. So in the same way, when we come back to Leviticus 17 and verse 7, we see that the people were also offering sacrifices to some form of idol. So to understand exactly what is meant by this word devils, we need to look at the Hebrew from which it's translated and to see where else the same Hebrew word occurs. So the Hebrew word is seir, which is translated elsewhere in the Bible as kid, so it's translated 29 times as kid, and goat 24 times, and it's only actually translated devil twice. So we can see then that the children of Israel were making sacrifices to some form of idol, which was probably in the shape of a goat or a kid. So we could have readily read Leviticus as, "And they shall no more offer sacrifices unto goats." So the other place where the Hebrew word seir is translated as devils is found in 2 Chronicles 11 and verse 15. So 2 Chronicles chapter 11, and it's from verse 13 to 15. We'll start at verse 13 for context, and it's all on the screen. If you want to check it in your Bibles, that would be great as well. "And the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of their coasts. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. And he ordained them priests for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made." So once again we see this word is referring to some form of idolatry in the shape of a goat or a kid, which we can see from the fact that Jeroboam is ordaining these priests for the high places, which were basically sites of idolatry, where they went to worship the idols. And we can also see this from the fact that the calves, that we read that the calves which he had made are also mentioned, because Jeroboam had made idols which were in the shape of both goats and calves. So we've seen then that the use of this Hebrew word seir, sometimes translated as devil, translated as devil twice, is used elsewhere in the Old Testament to describe an idol which is in the shape of a goat or a kid. We also find another Hebrew word, just one other Hebrew word in the Old Testament, which is translated as devils. So we'll spend a little time understanding this. So the Hebrew word is the word shad. I'm not saying that I'm pronouncing any of these Hebrew words correctly, by the way. So we only find this twice in the Bible, and both times it's translated as devils. So if you could turn with me to the first of these two references, which is in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 17. So Deuteronomy 32 and verse 17, which is also on the screen. So we read, "They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not." So we can see that this verse clearly explains to us what devils were. They were simply gods who they knew not, new gods that came newly up, whom their fathers feared not. So just like the previous word for devils that we've looked at, this word is also referring to idols which the people of Israel were worshipping, or false gods, essentially anything that was not the true God. As we read later on in the same chapter in Deuteronomy 32, and this time in verse 21, we read, "They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities." We also see in this verse that the sacrifices unto these devils or idols are described as vanities. That's because they were fruitless. The idols had absolutely no power at all. So we find the other occurrence of this word, devils, in Psalm 106 and verse 37, if you could turn there, please. So Psalm 106 and verse 37, reading from verse 34 for context. "They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood." So this verse once again clearly explains to us within the verse what the word devils means. We see that the Israelites had become entwined with the nation's worship around them. They'd learnt their ways and they started to serve their idols. And part of this idol worship was to sacrifice their children, their sons and their daughters to these devils. So we can see that these devils are the idols of Canaan, which we've read about in verse 38. They were the idols of the nation around them. So once again, as we've seen with the other Hebrew word for devils in the Old Testament, this word is referring to idols. So this concludes the use of the word devils in the Old Testament. It only comes up four times, and it's interesting to note that once again the word devil is not mentioned at all in the whole of the Old Testament. So we'll now look at the biblical use of the word devil in the New Testament to try and understand what the devil refers to. So there are two Greek words translated as devil, the first of which is diabolos, and the second word is daemonion. We will firstly look at the Greek word diabolos, and it might be a word that you're familiar with, as it's where we get the English word diabolical from. So the Greek word diabolos is translated as devil 35 times, false accuser twice, and slanderer once. So we are therefore going to look at the passages where it's translated as devil, because this is where it's most commonly translated, so it's best to look where it's most commonly translated. So this is the most common translation of that Greek word. So the first reference that we have to the devil is in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Where, as we had for our introductory reading, we read about Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. So, reading from Matthew 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This first verse leads us to think a little bit about the origin of Jesus' temptations. So we know from elsewhere in the Bible that Jesus had exactly the same human nature as we have. As we read in Hebrews 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet was yet without sin. So we can see from this reference that Jesus shared our human nature and that he was tempted in exactly the same way that we are tempted. But he didn't ever sin. He was without sin. We know from James chapter 1 that temptation, which eventually leads to sin, comes from within our own minds. As we read, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So as we've read, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So the lust is his. It clearly comes from within us. It is his own. So coming back to Matthew chapter 4, considering that Jesus was tempted by his own thoughts within him, just as we are, we can see that if we look at the whole context of the chapter, this becomes even more clear. So reading from Matthew 4 and verse 8, which we have on the screen, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So we'd all hopefully agree that there is no mountain on earth from which all the kingdoms of the world can be seen. And therefore, this verse demonstrates to us that Jesus was thinking about this place in his mind, because it would be impossible for him to physically be in such a place. So this view that Jesus' temptations were within him gains further weight if we look at the other names that the devil is given in Matthew chapter 4. So we read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3 that the devil is called the tempter. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. So we see here that the devil is also described as the tempter. And this word, the tempter, is the same word tempt that we see in James chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, which we've considered just previously. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So this description then makes sense to us, doesn't it, considering that Jesus' temptations were coming from within his own mind. So in summary, what we've looked at in Matthew chapter 4 so far is that it can be concluded that Jesus was tempted by the devil, meaning sin, and that these temptations came from within. So another key reference for us and our consideration today is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. If you could turn there with me, please. This is somewhere where we once again see the Greek word diabolos translated as devil. So Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, and just picking up the narrative from verse 9 so that we know what is being referred to here is the Lord Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And then coming down to verse 14, which we have on the screen, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So this verse defines for us exactly what the devil is. It's him that hath the power of death. So we know from Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that it's sin which causes death. If you turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, please. So Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We also see this, we've seen this in James, haven't we, that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we see here then, it's sin which has the power of death. So if we come back now to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, which is still on the screen, we see that the word devil is referring to sin. So Hebrews 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, which we now know is referring to sin. So another passage which we can turn to which reiterates this point is Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, reading from verse 1 for context. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So looking at this last phrase in particular, you can now see on the screen a comparison between what we've read in Romans 8 and verse 3 and what we've seen in Hebrews 2 and verse 14. And we can see from this table, especially the last line, that him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, equates to sin in the flesh. And if you want to look this up, it's from Rested Scriptures. So another common Greek word that we find translated as devil in the New Testament is that word deamanion. And we see this in the vast majority of cases refers to a person with a physical or mental illness. So if you could come with me to Mark chapter 7, so we can have a quick look at an example of this. So Mark chapter 7 and verse 25. So considering this second Greek word, which is translated as devil. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid up upon the bed. So this passage is useful for us because we have the mental illness from which the Greek woman's daughter suffered, described using two different phrases. So we see initially in verse 25 that her young daughter had an unclean spirit, which is underlined on the screen. So we can see then that later on in the same verse we read that she besought him to cast forth the devil out of her daughter. So we can see then it's logical to conclude that the devil and the unclean spirit refer to the same affliction. With this in mind, we turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, where again we find the phrase unclean spirits used, and this time we find it is placed in the context of other human afflictions. So Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, looking at the unclean spirits. So Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. So we can see here then that the unclean spirits are mentioned in the context of healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. So it seems reasonable then to conclude that this unclean spirit was some type of affliction which could be healed by Jesus, just like any other disease or sickness. And the same, of course, applies to Mark chapter 7 and with the term the devil. So the two terms, the devil and unclean spirit, basically describe the same affliction. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 11 and verse 14, we'll consider one more example where this word daemonion is used as devil. So Luke chapter 11 and verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. So here we have another really clear example of what the devil was. In this case, it was the inability to speak. We see that before the devil was cast out, the person could not speak. As we read, it was dumb. And then when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. Therefore, in this example, in line with our previous example, the phrase the devil was an affliction from which a person suffered, perhaps either physically or mentally. So from its use in the Bible, this is what we can conclude about this particular word for devil. So before we conclude completely, we'll look at the final word used for devil in the New Testament, which is the word daemon. So this word is used quite infrequently, occurring only 5 times in the whole of the New Testament. So if you could turn with me to Luke chapter 8 and verse 29, we'll look at one example of how this word is used. So Luke chapter 8 and verses 26 to 29, and we'll start at verse 26 for context. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it oftentimes had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. So again, as with our previous reference, we see that this devil or devils are also described as unclean spirit, as an unclean spirit, just as we looked at in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. So we see that it describes a mental or physical illness. We can therefore conclude that this word daemon also refers to a physical or mental illness, just as we found with the previous word. And it's useful, isn't it, because the verses explain to us again by the fact that devils and unclean spirit are used interchangeably. So in conclusion, we've examined what the Bible says about the devil or devils. We've looked at that in both the Old and the New Testament. And this has allowed us to make the following reasonable conclusions. One, that in the Old Testament, the word devils always relates to idol worship, sometimes referring to idols in the shape of a goat or a kid. That in the New Testament, that the Greek word diabolos, most often translated as devil, is referring to sin. And finally, that the other two Greek words in the New Testament used for devil or devils, which are daimonion and daemon, refer to mental or sometimes physical illness. Thank you for listening. I'll just leave the references on the screen if you want to look those up.